Ask a Silly Question, next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today, as usual, is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of our Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Sitting here just wondering what some of these people think when they make statements like we're about to go over and rely on their credentials to give them some credibility when in fact the things they say are obviously false.
Our next target is well known for saying things that aren't just quite true. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to be talking about today is an article that was in yesterday's Columbus Disgrace. I mean, Dispatch, excuse me. I call it the Disgrace because that's usually what you get out of it. But in the opinion section yesterday, under the headline Biology, there was a guest column penned by Steve Rissing. Steve is a professor of biology at Ohio State University. He is an ardent evolutionist. As a matter of fact, I've had the distinct opportunity to be able to debate this man publicly in other settings when we're dealing with the standards for high school science, if anybody remembers those fights from about 10 years ago. And Rissing is still at it, but this time he's sharpening his lance and picking up his sword to joust at those who would say that maybe we're just having a little bit too much excitement and fret over this thing called climate change. And so he pins his article with the header, "Anyone Still Doubt Climate Change?" And that's the reason why I started this with, "When you ask a silly question." Because that's exactly what he's doing, Chuck. He's asking a silly question.
But he's not going to get a silly answer, and that is, I do.
That's it. Because I do too, and I'm sure most of our listeners do.
Well, even if they don't, they should pay attention in the next few days or weeks, because we're getting ready to interview a scientist who is very well versed in this subject, Dr. Michael Kaufman of Environmental Perspectives Incorporated. And he's actually written a book that we're going to be reviewing, and we're going to be doing some interviews with him. And I'm sure the climate change issue will come up, because even though that's not exactly what his book is about, it is part of what he's dealing with in coming up to the conclusions that he comes to in his book, which is that we are very rapidly losing our liberty in the United States. Part of it is these scientists who are using pseudoscience in order to push an environmental agenda that is removing our private property rights. And that's what Steve Rissing's all about. Barry, I'll tell you the truth. I know this guy fairly well from his articles at Camp American for probably about the last 8 years. I've been teaching classes in logical fallacy detection, and I have used several Steve Rissing articles from the Columbus Dispatch as fodder, because very often they are just jam-packed with logical fallacy. One of the things we are supposed to learn in science, that's speaking as someone who is trained in science, I have a bachelor's degree in biochemistry, and of course, Steve Rissing is, I believe, a PhD in biology. We're supposed to learn how to avoid using logical fallacy, but apparently Steve Rissing is using what he knows about logical fallacy to attempt to manipulate in his articles. That's the sign of bad science being used.
And we'll set this up for those of you who haven't read this article. He's basically asking that question with the idea that, oh, thinking people don't doubt that there's climate change. And he's like, he says in his article, if we haven't entered a period of human-caused climate change yet, what will it take for us to agree that we have? In other words, he already has his thesis. We're there. People caused it. And the climate is being destroyed, and it's all your fault, ladies and gentlemen. So that's where Steve's coming from. That's his presupposition.
Here's my answer to that question. Uncompromised data. The fact is that... Yes.
But Steve gives you all this data in the article. And Chuck, I mean, he builds an airtight case, I think. So airtight that he may suffocate from it.
Yes, exactly. suck all the air out of the room or something.
That's right. And so, but he gives us all these various points of data. 1,500 U.S. high temperature records fell in 1 week. And
yes,
we're getting warnings by healthcare specialists that a disease, Chagas' disease, which is only spread by blood-sucking insects in tropical regions, might spread as temperatures rise in the U.S. But wait a minute, if they're in tropical regions, which means they're in South America, how far would they actually spread if temperatures rose, and how far do temperatures have to rise in order for them to get all the way up into, say, oh, Minnesota? Oh, wait a minute. Well, Minnesota already has blood-sucking insects. It's called the Democrat Farm Labor Party. No, excuse me. They actually have mosquitoes that are unbearable in the summertime.
Have you ever been? Have you ever spent time in northern Minnesota?
Oh, it's a nightmare.
Hey, baby, they're like B-17 bombers up there. They are gigantic. It's absolutely frightening, and when you hit them, you can literally hear them swarming. It's really kind of scary. But let's take a look at this opening statement, because sure, if we have an end period of human-caused climate change yet, what will it take for us to agree that we have? What this is a snob appeal.
Yes, it is.
You pointed it out, and essentially it's that we smart people know that global warming is here. It's you dumb idiots who keep asking the questions and keep asking to see more data who are really gumming up the works. We could have fixed this by now if it hadn't been for you guys, which of course is utter nonsense. But he's utilizing that fallacy. Almost 1,500 U.S. high temperature records fell in 1 week. Okay, give me statistics about why that means anything. Yes, high record marks are set all the time. And in fact, I remember in the 70s and 80s, low record marks were being set all the time. What's his point? Yeah, okay, 1,500 record marks fell. It's been a warm spring. And last winter was exceptionally cold and snowy. Again, what's the point?
Yeah, but we get down to this, Chuck. I mean, he's building a case here, and he's just going to throw fact after fact after fact at us. In order to make us be convinced that he's right and that it's all caused by human-produced global warming. And I want to break these down a little bit because, okay, so first of all, he's telling us that some healthcare specialists are warning that this blood-sucking insect might spread. So in other words, we're not sure if it's going to happen or not. Then he gets to his next point, and this is the one where this is where his biology nebbish comes out. Biologists identify mechanisms by which earlier snow melts, he doesn't say really how many earlier or how much, decrease populations of a rare Rocky Mountain butterfly. That's an appeal to fear, Chuck.
Okay, there's an appeal to fear here. There's an appeal to high tech.
There's an appeal to high tech, that's right.
Also, the fact is that none of this evidence points to man-made global warming.
It has nothing to do with it.
That's right.
Agriculture specialists attribute global changes in crop maturation, for example, early ripening of grapes, to increase global temperatures. Okay, Chuck, first of all, these are supposed to be evidences of why we should all be worried, we should all change policy because of global warming. Isn't early maturation of crops get them to the market faster, get people to be able to get these food products earlier and give you time to rotate into new crops?
Barry, here's the dirty little secret that guys like Steve Rissing will not tell you. During the medieval climate optimum, there were grapevines growing in parts of England where they will not grow now. In fact, wine was made in England from type of grape that will no longer grow there because the climate has gotten much colder since the medieval climate optimum.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Another fact that Rissing does not want to talk about is that in Europe, during the medieval climate optimum, there were often two crops a year that came off a field. So in other words, the fields were yielding twice as much food.
That's my point exactly.
And Rissing doesn't want to talk about that.
That's my entire point with him. Is that, Steve, if this is your argument, Steve, it's a very bad one. And it's actually making climate change sound like a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the fact is that during the medieval climate optimum, which happened during the medieval period, hence the name, man had nothing to do with the warming at that time, and man has nothing to do with the warming this time. And the fact is, what Rissing is denying is the fact that corrected temperature data shows that the global temperature has been flatlined now for about 12 years.
Exactly. That's right. We're not warming.
And what's happening is Rissing is relying on some data that has been, shall we say, manipulated. I'm sure he's a proponent of the hockey graph. And we'll get into that a little later. We may have to do a second show and talk about what the hockey graph's all about. But there was a graph put out by a climate, quote-unquote, climate scientist. And his goal, as he stated when he came up with the numbers, was to eliminate the medieval climate optimum, to make it non-existent. And the way he did it was, as things are always done in science, white lies, black lies, and statistics. He used a statistical manipulation where he basically weighted data differently in the modern era than he weighted it in previous times. And what he got was this, what they call the hockey stick graph, where it shows this huge global temperature spike. And in fact, he has gotten so much, Hansen is his name. I think didn't he work for NASA? Isn't Hansen a NASA scientist?
I believe that was the case, yes.
Yeah, and I think he's basically had to withdraw the hockey stick as having any bearing on truth. He continues to defend it, but the whole Michael Mann thing, and the whole, remember the YouTube video, Hide the Decline? That line came from a set of emails that someone hacked into and published between Michael Mann and some people in the East Anglia Climate Research Group in Europe, and it had to do with the IPCC, the
It was the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
Climate change, yeah. It's a UN agency. And in fact, their stated purpose was not to find out the science and the numbers. It was to get the ammunition they needed to bring about global taxes on carbon emissions, A, to raise revenue, and B, to shut down United States industrial capacity. I mean, let's be honest, that's exactly what it was all about. Now, the IPCC, I think the East Anglia system is all but shut down. If it's not shut down, essentially, they've so embarrassed themselves that they basically have no credibility whatsoever. Michael Mann has no credibility whatsoever, and Hansen has no credibility whatsoever. And yet, here we have Rissing relying on their data to make these claims. But basically, what he's doing is using these gigantic appeals to fear, providing zero evidence that any of it points to man-made global warming. What he's doing is pointing to the fact that at some time during a 30-year period between 1970 and about the year 2000, there was some global warming. That is simply undoubtable. And in fact, there has been a global warming trend since the Little Ice Age.
For 500 years, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. And it has nothing to do with the CO2 concentration, because there's zero correlation. But what there is correlation with, based on observation and some data, and remember, correlation is not exactly the same as causation. Correlation merely shows that there's some kind of a mechanism where this is involved. But the correlation that shows something like a 90%+ is solar activity as measured by sunspots. So what Rissing is doing is relying on something that is unreliable to try to make the case that man is causing global warming. And he's, to the average American who has not paid attention to this, the average reader of this article, who has not paid attention to this or is looking for ammunition, someone would pull this out and say, look, here's this article by this scientist. Well, this scientist is infamous for presenting these type of cases. As I've shown in my baloney detector class, my logical fallacy detector class, Rissing is infamous for this kind of a case. And it's really sad that he's been allowed to get away with this stuff.
Chuck, he gets away with it because he uses such scintillating arguments as, studies suggest that houses where 4 million Americans live on the coast confront increased risk of storm surge flooding by mid-century because of warming oceans. You see, he throws it out there that you really want 4 million people to drown?
Well, okay.
How can you doubt climate change?
We're out of time, but I'm going to tell you what that is before we sign off.
Oh, well, we're going to talk some more about this tomorrow, because there's lots more of this where that came from.
That's a circular argument.
Yes, it is.
In other words, it's also called...
Begging the question?
Yeah, it's begging the question. It's assuming global warming before you've actually proven it.
Well, but the other thing, and he uses the word suggest. Studies suggest. Well, yes, the studies don't come right out and say that that's the fact. You can't use it as data for building your case.
Well, that's right. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.